Good morning, brothers and sisters. I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I was richly blessed already with what come. The voice of the Lord. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. I was blessed with that. How many times when he speaketh that I'm not there to listen. I'm not there to hear what he has to say. Vanity of human wisdom. If it's not of God, what is it? It's empty. So I was blessed already this morning, and I just feel the need of a prayer this morning, and we want to listen for His voice, the voice of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to You this morning, and we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that we have this privilege to gather here together as brothers and sisters. We thank You, Lord, for the health You provided, that we could all get up this morning, and we could look to You, and we could praise You, and sing these beautiful praises to You this morning, Lord. This is all through You, Lord, and we thank You. We pray, Father, now here this morning, Lord, just pray that You would bless the few words that I have, that You have given me, Lord. Just pray that You would give me yet a revelation as I speak, Lord. Just quiet my heart, Lord, this morning, Lord, and that I could hear You speak, Lord, through Your Word. Thank You, Lord. I just want to commit this time, this meeting, this gathering, and everything to You this morning, Lord. Just be with the ones at the hospitals, Lord. Just bless their day and encourage them. Be with Reuben and Linda and their little, special little baby, Lord. Just bless their day. Thank You, Lord. We just commit everything to You this morning. In Your precious name. I was very blessed with the song that was chosen. Fear not, I am with thee. It's really fits very well with what I want to share this morning. And my title this morning is Purging the Gold. And this song was just a beautiful song that fit right in with my thoughts. And I was very encouraged. I was reading in First Peter 4:12-13 here a while back, and when I was asked if I would consider sharing, my thoughts went right to these verses. I feel the Lord has been taking me through a journey and showing me these things, and I just want to share them with you here this morning. I want to talk to myself, and you can listen. I'm okay for input. If you have anything on your heart, just say it, please. In 1 Peter 4, in verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And 13 says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Jesus warned us that in the world, in this world, we will have tribulations. For we are not of the world, let me start over. We have tribulation, for we are in the world, but not of it. Verse 12 is telling, I think it's telling us we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't think it's strange when the Lord tests our faith through fiery trials. The Word says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Think of that. More precious than gold. The trial of your faith. Our faith is much more precious than gold, and things that He puts us through, the fiery trials, the test of our faith, is much more precious than gold. My mind went right to Hebrews. In Hebrews, it tells whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I'm going to have trouble with some of these words. Sorry. It's the trials we face, the hard times we go through. He's trying to help us. It tells us in verse 5, my son. Let's read it first. In Hebrews 12, verse 4. We have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint thou when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God will deal you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be subject unto the Father of spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In verse 5, it tells us, in verse 5, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. If we go to verse 9, it says, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. What does this mean? We gave them reverence. The fathers of our flesh corrected us. If my dad tried to correct me and rebuke me, and if I didn't give him reverence, if I didn't give myself up, then I was not accepting the chastisement. My guilt could not be removed. And that is what the Lord is trying to do. The rebuke, I was being rebellious. And it's the same way with my Heavenly Father. If I don't endure the chastening, the hard things in life, that he sends my way. If I don't accept it, if I don't fight, if I fight and struggle against them, I won't be partakers of his holiness. It says this in verse 10. I won't be partakers of his holiness. And we need that in our life, his holiness. And I won't have the peaceable fruit of righteousness, as it says in verse 11. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peace that comes over us when we accept the fiery trials and the things we go through, the storms of life. I had to think of a Sunday school teacher who told his children, his students there, he says, draw me a picture of peace, what you feel peace looks like. What would you draw? How would we draw peace? I thought it was kind of... it's kind of a hard thing, really. But then I got to thinking of this, you know, this gentle rolling river and the trees beside it and maybe the mountains in the background. Just a peaceful look. And I think that some of them pictures started coming in with the water. Waters to me, calm waters is always to me kind of a peaceful thing. And these pictures started coming in. And then this little girl handed in a picture. And the Sunday school teacher looked at this and he couldn't quite figure it out. It didn't seem like peace to him. There was this big tree and it was in a storm. And the branches were waving all around and you could tell there's branches on the ground. You could tell there's a severe storm. And he couldn't quite figure it out. He couldn't figure out what he was trying to say. What she was trying to, it didn't look like peace. And then he seen it up in the tree. Was a little nest. And in that nest was a dove with their young ones. And she had them huddled around her and just with a peaceful look on her face. Through the storms of life. Jesus wants to hear this from us. Jesus wants to help us through these storms of life, the things we face. He wants us to tell Him about our trials and the things we go through. Not just this morning, not just once a month. He wants us a daily, He'd like a daily report from us to see. He wants to know how I'm feeling. He wants me to tell Him about my troubles and the things I'm going through. Because He's the one that's going to give us strength. On 1 Peter 4, verse 13, we should rejoice that we can be partakers of Christ's suffering. We should rejoice. In Romans 8, 17, it says, If so be that we suffer with Him, that we would also be glorified together. That would be a blessing. Can we be glorified together on this earth with Christ? And that we could someday be with Him in heaven and we can be glorified together there. When I was going through this, I was thinking of a man in the Bible. I thought of Job and all the trials and the testing that he went through. So I'm going to go through this a little bit, just a couple of the chapters. I don't have the knowledge or wisdom to go real deep in this. We'll read the first chapter and go through it, and then maybe we can just pick out some points in the second chapter. So the book of Job, the first chapter, if anybody wants to follow along. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one in his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And so it was, when the days of their feasting was going about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, hence comes thou. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Hast thou not blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? Put forth the hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and am And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans have made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. Yeah, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell him. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, my sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they were dead, and I am only escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So we want to talk a little bit here on Job's background. It's as I was chapter one. So to talk a little bit about Job's background, he said he was a perfect and upright. He feared God. He eschewed evil. Job was called a perfect and an upright man. Now this was from the Lord. This wasn't Job saying this about himself. This come from the Lord. Job was called a perfect and upright man because he feared God, eschewed evil. What does eschewed evil mean, if I'm pronouncing it right? It means to, I looked it up in one of our dictionaries, says to avoid or shun sin. That's what kind of a man that he was. He was avoiding and shunning sin. And that is our desire. I know it is there this morning. That is in our hearts. To avoid and shun sin. And with the help of the Lord, we can do this. He gives us the strength. We get a strength from the Word. And He helps us through this life so that we can be victorious. This is what the Lord said. Yeah, I said this already. What would the Lord say about me? Or you? Could he say, I fear him, at the same time I obey him, and stay away from all appearance of evil? Could I have that tag? Could that be stamped in my heart? The same tag that Jesus or the Lord put on Job. See, Job, things was going well for Job. Job had a big family, had seven sons, he had three daughters, he had lots of livestock and possessions, and that he was looked upon as the greatest man of the East. The Word teaches us that. Now, when we go down to verse 5, it says, this is something for us dads, us parents. Job showed a deep concern for the spiritual welfare of his children. Today, we can show the same concern by praying for our children. Sacrifice some time to each day to plead with God, to forgive them, to help them grow, protect them, to help them lead lives pleasing to Him. It says, thus did Job continually. He made a point every day to pray for his children or make sacrifices for them. And we have the same opportunity today to do this for our children and grandchildren. Verse 6, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So they were both there. Is this telling me that Satan is everywhere? Who were the sons of God? I'm not sure about that. Was they angels? I'm not sure. The sons of God. I don't know if I understand that all. That thought came to me that maybe they was angels. The Lord, in verse 7, the Lord asked Satan a question. Hence comes thou. Then Satan answered. The Lord answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. I don't know if I understand that right. I think it's just saying that he's everywhere. He's in the earth. He's everywhere. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? The Lord asked Satan a question here. Why wouldn't Satan have considered him before? Why didn't Satan consider Job before? I don't know. Here's my thoughts. Because it says there, he is none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Satan saw that Job was strong in faith and had a relationship with God. Remember that the Lord called him his servant. My servant Job, he had a relationship with him. And I think Satan didn't think he had a chance. But the Lord gave him permission. Verse 9, Satan asked the Lord a question. Does Job fear God for naught? Satan answered his own question. When he asked, has thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Has thou not blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land? I think the Lord made this hedge of protection around Job and his children and all that he had. He blessed him because of the burnt offerings and sacrifices that he made. Thus did Job continually. That's why he blessed him, and Satan knew this, and Satan said to take away what he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. How am I doing when things are going well and seemingly falling in place? Is it easier to bless the Lord and sing praises to him like we did here this morning? Is it easier to do that when things are going good? When the Lord takes my possessions, my earnings, or a death in the family, am I still praising God? It's those kind of things that should be drawing us closer to Him and not further away. I know there's a situation at the hospital right now, and I don't think that this situation is drawing this couple apart from God. I think it's drawing them closer together and to God through this little boy that was born. I know many of you, I was very blessed already with many of you, what things you've went through. And it drawed you closer to the Lord and drawed you closer to each other. I was very blessed to see this already. That is the plan of God. That's why He tests us, our faith, and the things we go through to draw us closer to Him. The child that was born there is perfect in God's eyes, and I also think it's perfect in Reuben and Linda's. In the verses 14 through 19, I'm not going to go through all that. We know what happened there. Job loses his flocks, his health, his wealth, his possessions, his children. How did he respond? If I understand it right, it was a custom in those days to shave their heads when they were going through great grief. I don't know. That's what I was thinking. I think this was an outward sign that Job accepted what the Lord had taken away. And then he worshiped him. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this, in all that happened, did he get discouraged? Yes, he did. I think he did. I don't understand a lot of that in the middle, all them chapters in the middle of the book of Job. But I take it he got discouraged. He was saying that he wishes that he had never been born. And all that Job lost, he did not lose his faith in God, nor his trust. I had to think of the verses. When I got done reading that, I had to think of the verses in Romans. In Romans, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor of any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It didn't separate Job from the love, from God, from his love. I mean, Job could have had a list there too, my health, and he went through it, and he went through it strong. Just how am I on just on the daily pressures of life? How am I doing? If you was to ask my children or my wife, I don't know how their response would be if they'd be honest. There's days I don't do good on the pressures of life, the everyday life, just the daily pressures. I was working with a man one time in powder coating. He was in there grinding away on this piece of equipment, and it seemed like he wasn't getting nowhere, and we was ready to powder coat, and he was trying to get it ready, and he worked on it that day, and the next morning he was still there grinding away. We grind the welds so they're not sharp, or the corners, we grind them down so they're not sharp. And I asked him, I said, how's it going? He was still grinding away. We wanted to powder coat, and he said, not good. I said, what's wrong? He says, it's the daily grind. And the daily grind, how am I doing on the daily grind? Just the daily things that I go through. I had to think of some more verses in Romans. And we know all things work together for good that love God, for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I like the song we sing. We sing a song. All things work together for good when God's love is understood. We have to. He's trying to get us to see. He's trying to work the impurities and the dross out of my life. Am I understanding that? Am I understanding the love of God that He has for me? I'm going to go to chapter 2. We're not going to read it all. We're just going to go through and pick out some of the points. In chapter 2, there was a request again from Satan. Another request was to take Job's health. And that taking health it is a real test. If you're sick and not feeling well, it's a lot harder to be encouraged. It's a lot harder to be positive when you're sick. And we can't be discouraged and be thankful at the same time. We just can't. It's either one or the other. And we want to be encouraged. Satan knew what he was doing. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. That's all the way to his head. We got a little Bible books for the children, and I seen that in there. He was sitting there under a tree with these big boils all over his head and all the way down. It was just somebody's imagination, but it was probably pretty real. He was sitting there in ashes, scraping the pus off his boils with a pot shred, probably very discouraged. And when his wife came up to him and said, "Curse God and die." Wow. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You know, there's a time when our partners, when we need encouragement, and it's very, very real. Just it don't take a lot of words from your partner to encourage you when she knows you're down, or when I know she's down. It don't go good if we're both down. And if we stop and think about it, his wife was probably grieving deeply. She lost 10 children. She just went through that. And it would have made it even harder for Job. Then three of Job's friends came to visit him. It's in verse 12 and 13. I'm just going to read them. "And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." Wow, 7 days and 7 nights, and that none of them spake a word, none of them said a word. It's just hard to imagine. It's just our presence. If we're there with somebody that's grieving, I think it don't take a lot of words. It's just when if we're there, our presence are there, and they know we care. It's better not to say anything than what they did in chapter 3. They started accusing him of sins and all kind of things they started throwing at him. It says, "But through all this, Job kept his faith and blessed the Lord." I'm moving pretty fast here. Chapter 42, the end chapter. I'm going to go to that. There's not a lot I want to share here. It's just that Job blessed. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He doubled his flock. Everything that he had, he doubled. He didn't his children. They got 10 children again. They didn't give him 20. But he doubled his flock. Everything that he had. It was just, it's really amazing. So with going to my title, Purging the Gold. My title comes from a song we used to sing. It's called Purging the Gold. We don't have it in our books here, but we had it where we come from. It's a very thought-provoking song, and it talks a lot about it talks about it in Hebrews, what we talked about, and it was a very fitting song. And that's why I named this title Purging the Gold. So how do you purge gold, or how does that work? I don't know a lot about it, but what I understand, in the process of refining gold, they take these gold nuggets and they are heated with fire until it melts. The impurities separate from it and rise to the surface. They are skimmed off, leaving pure gold. Without this heating and melting, there could be no purifying. As the impurities are skimmed off, the top, the reflection of the worker, appears in the smooth, pure surface. So here we are this morning, and we got all these nuggets sitting out here, so to speak. And so we are the gold nuggets. We go through life, and we face trials and tribulations. We surrender our lives to the Lord. And as we do this, He turns on the heat, and the impurities and the dross starts to come to the surface. That's the Lord's plan in my life, if I'm not fighting it. This is a lifelong process. At the end of our life, we will be the reflection of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Sorry, but I always have this trouble. But I'm going to close here with Job 23:10. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. May this be an encouragement to you. May you be blessed. May as you journey on in life. There's a lot more. Mose, you can just bring. There's a lot more that could be brought. Just feel free to bring it.